For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Have you, any of you men ever lost your wives and you're fearful the rapture happen when you can't find them? As I know my wife's going for sure, and I think I am too. I hope I am. We're in a series in Philippians, and I think Pastor Doug and Vicky did a sensational job last week. I'm going to push the pause button, and I'm not going to continue in the series today. I will continue in it next week, because I have a hot topic I want to stop and talk about. Yes, you already got me going. How many of you know by experience that you're growing and changing? Every few years, you're different, aren't you? A group of guys, all turning 40, discussed where they would meet for lunch. And they finally agreed on Wetherspoons in Uxbridge because the waitresses had large breasts and wore miniskirts. 10 years later, at age 50, they wanted to meet for lunch, and they decided they'd again go to Wetherspoons in Uxbridge because the waitresses were attractive and the food and service was good and the beer was excellent. 10 years later, at age 60, these same group of men got together and decided where they'd go to lunch at, and they said, we're going to go to Wetherspoons in Uxbridge because there's plenty of parking and you don't have to walk very far. And it's quiet and you don't have to be bugged by loud music. And the food is pretty good at a good price. 10 years later, at age 70, the same group of men got together and decided they'd go to lunch. They decided to go to Wetherspoons in Uxbridge because the restaurant had wheelchair accessibility and it had a toilet for the disabled. 10 years later, at 80, these same men got together and said, let's go to lunch at Wetherspoons Uxbridge because we've never been there before. It's true to life, isn't it? Now, we don't usually, hardly ever, ever do we talk about politics in church, but today we're going to. Whenever a political decision starts affecting the church's rights, we're going to talk. I don't get angry if you say something about me, but if you say something about God or the church, I do get angry. Now, for our viewers out there watching who are out of state, I just want to tell you to kind of listen closely, because what starts in California usually doesn't stay in California. It's coming your way. Now, before I start, I want to make something very, very clear. This is not a message against homosexuality or gay people. I firmly believe that everybody has a right to live the way they want to live. You've been given 75 years on this earth approximately, and you can live however you want to live, but just rest assured that you will stand before God in judgment someday for how you lived your life. AB 2943, anybody ever heard of it? How many's heard of it? Big thing right now, big thing. It's a California law that makes conversion therapy illegal. Huge, huge, huge. It's already passed the assembly, 50-18, it's passed through the assembly, and now it's going to the Senate. It basically says that every licensed clinical counselor, doctor, psychologist, psychiatrist that are licensed, it is now illegal for them to push conversion therapy, because conversion therapy does not work, and it's fraudulent advertising, and you will be breaking the law if you do. For people who are confused about their sexual gender identity. They now, if they go to a professional counselor, the counselor cannot tell them about Jesus and his transformation of the gospel. They cannot do that. It's gone. It's finished. So if you're thinking that you have a friend and you want to send them to a counselor because they're confused about their sexual gender identity, it isn't going to happen anymore if this passes, which I'm sure it probably will. SB 1172, have you heard of that? That passed in 2012. Governor Jerry Brown signed it into law. And it says, I'll quote, "Any sexual orientation change efforts attempted of a patient under 18 by mental health providers is illegal, and you'll be breaking the law." What does that mean to parents? If you have an 8-year-old that's confused about their sexual identity, you cannot take them to a counselor and pay them to counsel them because they can't do it. They'll be breaking the law if they tell them about Jesus, if they tell them about the gospel, if they give them a book. You paid for their services and they can't give your child a book to help them get free. It just can't happen. You can't do spiritual warfare on anybody. That's child abuse in some states now. That's what they're looking at. That's a paid counselor. That's someone that you pay for services. Now, this legislation scares me because I believe it's possible that it's the start of many things. To say that conversion therapy doesn't work and it's illegal scares me. Now, I'm going to say several things about this today, so let's start talking. The first thing I want to say, number one, is the church has to step it up. If the paid counselors now, if their hands are tied and they can't push conversion therapy, then you know what? We can. Because the law right now only pertains to licensed counselors and licensed doctors and psychologists and psychiatrists, but the church, it has not affected us yet. Now, this legislature, in my mind, they didn't know what they were doing because they've awakened a sleeping giant. I am so upset and insulted at what they're doing that I'm going to start writing curriculum for those that are uncomfortable with their sexual identity and want change. I'm going to start writing curriculum. I'm going to buy every good book I can find on the subject out there and make it free to anybody that wants them. Now, again, this is not against the lesbian community, LGBT. I'm not directing this against them. I'm not coming against them. What I'm angry about, I have righteous indignation that they're taking my freedom away from me and from us, the church, to be able to express our beliefs. That is what is wrong. Now, put your thinking caps on for a moment. Everyone has a right to choose the way they live. But to tell someone that once they choose that lifestyle, they cannot change and they cannot get help to change, that is definitely wrong. Now, what's good for the gander is good for the goose. If I want to change my identity sexually speaking, or I want to change the way I'm living my life, I can go to the LGBT National Help Center, and it says there, quote, "Help for those questioning their sexual orientation." Why can they do it if we can't? Quote, "Help for those questioning their sexual orientation." Yet our paid counselors cannot do that anymore. Advocates for Informed Choices, another organization, Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Educators Network, and it says there they offer a toolkit and resources to use in the schools. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Again, I don't want to go on. I have a lot of these, but again, my comments are not directed against the LGBT community. It's against some of those in the LGBT community that are legislators that are trying to take our rights away. That's what this is all about today. So the church needs to step up our game. At VBF, we need more volunteers. We have a very, very few amount of pastors here, and our pastors are doing parking lot ministry. They're doing ushers ministry. They're doing greeters ministry. They're doing a lot of stuff that we should be doing. Look at Acts 6, 1 through 4. It says, now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it's not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But for ourselves, we will devote ourselves to prayer and ministry of the word. Right now, we don't have a seniors ministry. We need one. We don't have a singles ministry. We need one. But we don't have enough pastors to do it. So you need to step up. And we need to get these ministries done. Look at the second thing I want to talk to you about. We need to be informed. I get so mad at the church and Christians in general sometimes because I've been hearing things about this law, and all of a sudden it's all over the internet. We have a fake news show, and there's this lady here, and man, it looks like something you'd see on Fox News going, is it true that our Bible's going to be banned? Yes, and this bill, our Bible could be banned. It doesn't say anything about that. I watched the floor debate. We're out there saying, you know what, our pastor's going to be thrown in jail, our youth leader's going to be thrown in jail, the Bible's going to be banned. No, 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 do your fact check before we talk. Sometimes we as Christians, we make a fool out of the whole church world. You won't believe how many, and bless your hearts, you send me stuff Facebook all the time, and I'll go back and I'll go, that is not true. You should have fact checked it before you sent it out to all your friends. It makes us lose our credibility. This law right now only affects licensed counselors, psychologists, psychiatrists, doctors, and it makes it illegal for them to say Jesus Christ can change you. And here's some material to show you he can change you. But I've said it before, and it's an old cliche. I'm some dumb, but not plumb dumb, and I was born at night, but not last night. To know that once this law is passed, there's a great possibility other laws are going to be passed. Because the problem's not going to be fixed. These 7 LGBT legislators who's co-authored this bill, it's not going to be fixed because the church is going to step their game up and they're going to keep doing what they don't want licensed counselors to do. What will be the next step? If we don't start fighting now, gang, we can't wait. And again, as I said before, this is not against the LGBT community. It's not against the gay community. It's against taking our rights away. It's not against people, because my Bible tells me my battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the spirits behind the movement. We don't know what's coming around the corner. Look at number 3. We need to unashamedly start giving testimonies. I'm going to show you a video in a second where this young man who is leading the cause, the co-author of this bill, he says, if you'll see this video and look at it real closely, he chuckles saying, conversion therapy doesn't work. We know it doesn't work. Now, he's going to hold an orange up in this video, but he should be holding the Bible up. And he's explaining to the people there in a very simple illustration what the bill says and what it doesn't say. Take a look at this video real quickly. This is on the assembly floor.
This orange, if I tell you that this orange will help you grow a foot taller by tomorrow if you eat it, and I give this to you, that is legal. You know that it will not help you grow an additional foot. Now, if I told you that this orange would make you grow an additional foot, and I give this to you, and I ask you to pay me 50 cents, that is what this bill does, makes this a fraudulent practice. But if I give this to you, that is still legal.
I wish I would have been on the Senate floor. I would have jumped up and grabbed his orange, and I'd say, but what if this orange did make some people grow an additional foot? Then what would you say? Because he should have held up a Bible. What he was saying was, conversion therapy will not change you. And we all know it won't change you. Well, I have news for him. It does change people. It's changed people from the history of time, and it continues to change people. Now, you know why he's able to make statements like this? You know why he's able to stand up and say, conversion therapy doesn't work? More than likely because he's met some Christians that are sitting here today in this building. You've been saved for 10 years, you're still doing porn. You've been saved for 8 years, you're still doing drugs. You've been saved for 9 years, you're still sleeping around. You've been saved for 7 years, and you're still an alcoholic. So he's able to say, because you're a flashing billboard supporting his cause, that conversion therapy doesn't work. I don't mean to get down on you because I love you. But if you're one of those I just spoke of and saved 9 years, 12 years, you're still in pornography, still doing drugs, still sleeping around, let it be known that the only reason you're still sleeping around doing drugs, doing porn, is because you like the sin better than you love the Savior. I say that again. The only reason that you've been saved that many years, you're still doing pornography, still doing drugs, still is because you love your sin more than you love the Savior. Because the Bible says God has given me all things pertaining to life and godliness. The Bible says that we're to leave sin, and God wouldn't tell us to do that if we didn't have the ability to do it. Amen. I've never wanted to be popular. I love you guys, and I don't want to see you destroy your life. You have the power to get off. Sometimes the truth hurts before it sets you free. Come to this altar today and be set free. Be set free. Some of us need to make a decision whether we want to serve God or do we want to serve porn, drugs, alcohol. What do we want to serve? You say, Ron, but it's so hard. I know it's hard. It's a struggle for all of us. We're born in a world that's not conducive to living for Jesus. See, it would not be terribly hard at all to convince most men in the world that they were born for polygamy, that they were born to be non-monogamous. And if we had a world out there shouting in the ears of our men saying, you were born to not be monogamous, that's who you are. That's in the fiber of your being. Be who you are. We would have to have prostitution places in every city. Many men I know struggle with this desire every day. They struggle against lust. They struggle against pushing that button to porn on the computer. Many men I know struggle with seeing a beautiful woman and not thinking bad thoughts. But you know what? Those same men, many of them I know, by the power of the Holy Spirit and their love for Jesus Christ, they've overcome that. And they're faithful to their wives. They love God and they don't want that lifestyle. Do you understand that we're sinners by nature? And the world's shouting out today, be true to who you are. Then why don't we go out and hit people? And, you know, they had that old slogan years ago, if it feels good, do it. What kind of society would that be? We all have to live with restraint. We all have to live in this manner. But in some segments of society, say, no, be true to you. Just go out and do what you want to do because that's who you are. Yeah, you were born a little filthy sinner. Don't be true to that. Let Jesus be the Lord of your life and the Savior of your life. And let him overcome that through you. I'm going to wear these stools out. Look at 1 John 5 and 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that's overcome the world. Our faith. Our faith will get us the victory. When you have faith, you can overcome. When you go to prayer, and remember, faith comes from hearing God. When you go to prayer and you hear God saying, man, I'll give you the strength over this sin. I'll give you the strength over this temptation. When you go to prayer and you hear God speak to you, you come out with faith, and that faith will propel you to victory. But in order to have faith, you have to believe first. Those are two different things. You must believe that if you go to God, you'll get faith. You have to believe that if you go to God, that he cares. You have to believe that if you go to God, he hears. You have to believe that if you go to God, he will give you whatever you need to get through what you're going through. Let it be to you according to your faith. You got to believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When you go to the counselor that you respect and you think, you know, anointed by God, when you go to church, bring your notepad or bring your tablet ready on your iPhone or your iPad. Choose to believe that. It's such a simple life. Today, the high schoolers and junior hires are in here. And I called the high school on the way here. I'm still living out of town for a couple weeks till I get my house. But I was on my way and I said to myself, watch, God is in this. Last night, you don't know how I struggled with this sermon. I laid it aside four times. I'm not going to teach it. I'm not going to teach it. I'm not going to teach it. And it's not even a teaching, really. It's a family discussion. But on the way here, I called our high school pastor, Tom. And I said, Tom, I said, I'm going to pray something before we talk. You'll know if this is of God or not. Here's what I'm going to talk about today. And he goes, oh my gosh, is this ever God or what? He said, last night God told me your sermon's going to change tomorrow. I woke up this morning and God said, your sermon's going to change today. It's not going to be on what you thought it was going to be on. Ta-da, and they're in here. I called junior high and I go, you know, Zach, what do you think, Zach? I said, let me pray, Zach. He said, oh my gosh, that's an answer. That's an answer. This is supposed to be. Listen up, teens. God didn't make a mistake when he made you. You say, is that right? Teenagers, probably one of the few times you're here and you hear teachers and you hear counselors, people out there that don't have God in them. We have God in them. I've been told by our leaders that there's so much confusion about sexual identity in our youth departments here. So many kids are coming up asking. If God birthed you male, he wants you to be a male. If he birthed you female, he wants you to be a female. Amen. God knew. Look at Psalms 139. It says, for you formed my inward parts and you wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. Did you hear that? My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I wake, I'm still with you. You don't take a 13, 14-year-old kid whose hormones are racing wild and put thoughts in their mind like maybe you should have been born a male, maybe you should have been born a female. You don't do that. That's not fair. You have to realize, gang, that many of your instructors, your counselors, your teachers, they don't have God living in them. God's not guiding them. And some of the stuff they're teaching you, remember, God is absent. God is here. And God is speaking to you today. The devil is real. And he's dedicated to your demise. The devil is real. And he has a plan to bring every one of us down. And right now, I do believe, not just because of this bill, but when you take many things that are happening in the world, the devil's a big bully and he's trying to shut the church up. He does not want us talking. He does not want to have us to have the guts to come out and preach what I'm preaching today because you might offend somebody. Well, so be it. So be it. I have never been called to pastor a big church. I've been called to tell the truth. If that builds a big church, praise God. If it doesn't, then I'll preach to the three of you that show up. 1 John 5 and 5. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? 1 John 4 and 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Look at 1 John 4:4. Did I read that yet? Romans 6:11. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Once you give your life to God, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in your body, and he's going to start working the salvation out. Salvation, conversion therapy is messy. It's messy. And this young man that says conversion therapy doesn't work, he doesn't understand that it's messy. When someone is confused, he said it's not working. No, confusion is part of the curriculum to get you to go searching. Frustration is part of the curriculum. So you change the way you do things. Sometimes you're desperate, so you'll ask for help. You're burdened, so you'll act on your burden. You're angry, so you'll join the fight. Conversion is a process, and it's a messy process. And that young man that co-authored the bill does not understand that. Listen to me. Let me go to my next point, because I got to be out of here on time. Parents, get your act together. Oh, my goodness. Confused kids not always come from confused parents, but very often they do. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Usually, not always. Now, parents need to wake up and see the calling God has placed on their life. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, God says to the children of Israel, he says, if you obey my commandments and fear me, he said, I'll bring you into a land that is flowing with milk and honey. And he said, you'll start having things that you did not earn. You'll start having things in your life that can't be credited to anything you did. They'll just be gifts from me. You will have things that you did not obtain by your own power. I look around, this is so true. If you follow him with all your heart, soul, and mind, I look around at some of the stuff we have and some of the stuff we're doing, and I go, I know this didn't come from us. This has to be from God. Now look at chapter 6, verse 35. Or 5 through 9, chapter 6, 3, 5, and 9. You shall love the Lord God with your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. How many of you parents have scriptures hanging on the wall to remind your kids of their destiny and of their inheritance? Our kids are being bombarded with worldly values every day. They must come home to a holy place where there's praise music playing, where there's scriptures on the wall. That's going to be their salvation. Establish family altars. How many of you parents pray with your kids every morning before they leave, and you pray for them every night before they go to bed? You got to know who their friends are, who they're hanging out with. I'm telling you, and I don't know how this comes off. I don't want it to come off bad. Lord, forgive me beforehand. Please, people, forgive me too. I don't want to brag, but there's a reason today that all of our kids are serving God. All of our grandkids are serving God. There's a reason, because we had Jesus in the home right on down. He was there. There's times I've made mistakes, but when I did, I would ask my kids to pray for me. I would ask my wife to pray for me. Nobody's perfect. But I'm telling you, we need the family altars. Some of you, and I know this is redundant, but some of you single moms and dads need to put your dating life on hold and raise those kids. Raise those children. You might have messed up. Okay, we'll pray for you. Romans 8:28, but you've got to give those kids your attention now. That's your calling. I know when my kids had friends, I knew who their friends were, and if I didn't like their friends, they disappeared. No, that sounds mafia. It didn't disappear. We disappeared. Proverbs 22 and 6, you raise a child in the way they ought to be raised, and they will not depart from that way. The last thing I want to talk about, don't procrastinate. You know, Hitler was a pretty good guy when he came out, according to some people. He did a lot of good things or did some good things. Sometimes we're like that proverbial frogs in the water that the heat's being turned up and it's starting to boil. We've got to see that the devil has an agenda. And he's mark on. And if the prophecy that I teach is correct and we're in the last days, he knows that. He senses that. And he's going forward, forward, forward. And it's time for us to stand up. We can't let bullies push us around anymore. And to me, that's bullying. That's bullying when somebody says, we can do this, but you cannot anymore. It's illegal for you, but we can do it. Ephesians 6 and 12, again, remember, you can fight the right enemy in the wrong way. King Josiah was a great man of God, but he ended up fighting the right enemy in the wrong way, and he died. He was fighting in a battle he should not have fought in, and we have to fight it in the right way. What do? We vote. We need to Romans 8, 28 it and say, okay, maybe people shouldn't have been paying for all these services anyway. Now they'll come to the church where they're free at, and we will give them the truth. And if they're struggling, we will help them. And if they're in need of prayer, we will take authority over spirits. We can do all of that. We're up in our game now. So it's Romans 8, 28. Write your political leaders at the end of the day. And at the end, I will throw some on the screen. You can take your cameras, phones out and take a shot of it. Or you can get flyers on the way out. Write your senators and say, we don't want this bill passing. And then I had this crazy radical idea today that I really think we should put feet on. I think as parents, we ought to have a parental Christian group over every school in town where our kids go. Every school. For example, South High, Centennial High, Stockdale High, all the high school and junior highs. If your kids go there, you ought to get four or five Christian parents together and you ought to pray for your school every week. That ought to be one of your ministries. You ought to go in and see the textbooks they're using. Talk to the teachers. Gang, a church this size has power in our community. We're a powerful force to reckon with. And we need to get involved. You'd be shocked what you can do if you become a voice. You've heard it said before, all it takes for evil to win is for good men to do nothing. That's all it takes. And evil will win. And right now, again, I believe as a church, we've got to keep preaching the word. And we got to keep making a stand. I want you to notice again, when he yelled that orange up, he should have been holding the Bible up. It should not have been an orange at all. Because what he was saying is, the Bible does not work. We know it doesn't work. But yet we're going to let you, if you give it away free, you can give it away free because we know it doesn't work anyway. But you know what? That man's never been to Valley Bible Fellowship. He's never seen the people here who were once on drugs, and you're not on drugs by the power of Jesus Christ. You were once a porn addict. You're no longer a porn addict any longer. I'm telling you, God is in the transforming business. I'm not even going to ask you, Stan, because it probably gets scary if how many of you used to be on drugs and alcoholism and in jail. We did the jail thing a while back, and it scared all the reasonable people in the church. How many has been in jail? And I think 3/4 of the church stood, and I just saw a fear strike into the face of all the normal people. Take a look at this last video. Although I don't agree with one or two things that are said, I think the spirit of this video needs to be shown. Take a look, and then we'll go home.
Wow, there's no way we could keep silent right now. That when you have experienced the changes that Elizabeth and I have experienced in our lives by getting to know the Lord deeply and finding our identity in Him. So I'm talking about coming out of homosexuality. I'm talking about sexual desires changing from being attracted to men to being attracted to women for me. And when something that dramatic happens in your life, you don't be quiet about it. Because the world out there does not know that that is possible. Today is the very first day in my life. I'm 46-year-old male, Christian, living in America, and today is the very first day I have ever felt discriminated against. I've been rejected. That's part of having a homosexual, you know, background, is lots of rejection, lots of pain, lots of being misunderstood. Today is the first day I felt discriminated against because we watched this bill, AB 2943, pass now through the second committee. It's screaming through the legislature right now. And you need to be aware that there is a freight train coming toward you, toward your ability to help minister life and encouragement and wholeness to the people in your life that you know that are struggling sexually, that are struggling with their sexual identity, that have same-sex desires that they don't want to live out. A freight train is coming. Are you hearing me? You are going to lose your ability to be able to have resources that you can point your friend to. They won't be able to buy books. People that are struggling and want to walk out a Christian life in line with the gospel that says that such were some of you. You may have been an idolater, you may have been a drunkard, you may have been a homosexual, but such were some of you. Your ability to put resources into their hands, to be able to even help them by paying for them to go see an expert therapist that could help them walk out of that pain, that's going away if this bill goes through. You won't be able to do that. You can't point them to a curriculum that someone has created. We've been working on curriculum to be able to help these people that are wanting to slit their wrists because they don't know who they are. They are absolutely crying out for identity, and you won't be able to pay for their curriculum to help them in their deepest point of pain they've ever had in their whole lives. If there's ever been a time to mobilize the church, it is right now. We must defeat this bill and the other bills, AB 2119 and AB 1779. We've got to get this taken care of and out of the legislature so that we can continue to love the people that really need it. This is so important, but she's going to tell you how you have to do this without hurting the gay people, without hurting the LGBTQ precious people that Jesus died for. She's going to tell you about that, right?
Wow. No passion there.
I feel strongly.
You know, the thing is, Ken and I have slightly different stories. He grew up in the church, and immediately when he started coming alive in puberty, realized his desires towards men and began pulling away, like, oh, how do I follow the Lord and have this experience of life? I grew up in a different kind of church. During my teenage years, started kind of grappling with my sexuality, but then in my 20s, came out and fully embraced my identity as a lesbian. You know, I went to seminary openly gay as a lesbian. And so we have very different experiences. I can say, you know, my heart is for the gay community. I was loved so well in the gay community. I've had some of the most important friendships and community of my life in the gay community. And I see this as, unfortunately, such a polarizing issue that how is the church going to even be able to evangelize the community? And how are we going to recognize sanctification when it starts to happen among the gay community? The nature of being born again is this transformation that we're talking about. And so all of our testimonies, everything, you know, the discipleship project or process through which the Lord brought me of coming to terms with my true identity and my true self, we'll have to hide that somehow. And so it's such an affront to even the born again Christian experience. I mean, it's a blaring signal that culture has no idea that you are born again when you're Christian. And that means that everything from your past falls away, and you're, through the power of Christ, given liberty to walk towards a new identity in the Lord that aligns with the Bible. It's not something, it's not a philosophical or an ideological thing that you do to fix yourself. It's something that the Lord is in that empowers to bring freedom and wholeness. And so this bill basically stifles any acknowledgement of the power of the gospel from my end.
I'm going to put on the screen here if you want to take a screenshot of it. That's some of the senators and assemblymen you can write. And if you don't get that, you can get a piece of paper on the way out that will have these numbers. But I think it's time for the church to stand up. It's time for us to start protecting our rights. And let's pray this right here. Father God, I thank you. I thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, that we have the freedom in this country to talk about these issues. Lord, I'm so afraid sometimes that the freedom of religion and the freedom of speech are going to slowly be eroded and go away. Lord, in no way do I object to the other sides of these issues saying what they have to say. And they should give us the same respect. And so, Lord, I thank you that you are probably alerting us at a time when things aren't as bad as they may be. It's time for the church to stand up now and start taking authority over the spirits behind these movements. Lord, if the whole church would begin to pray authoritatively and take authority over the spirits that are behind these movements, Lord, it would make it a much more difficult time for these things to pass. So it's time for the church to become the church, to stand up and say, we believe in the gospel. We believe wholeheartedly in conversion therapy for whatever situation. And so thank you for this word today. I'm going to leave it with the congregation. They can do with it whatever they wish. Thank you for all of our online audience. Give us a great day in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King.